Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Christina. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am a writer, obviously. I have lived a life where I've done many different things. Like I ran a marketing company for a long time. I worked in nonprofit work. And then I really wanted to be a writer. I wanted to write romance novels, and I didn't think anybody could just go write a romance novel. So I opened a chocolate shop, as one does. And so I did. And then I realized, when you work in chocolate, it's mostly dishes. It's not actually like a Willy Wonka, like Wonderland, where you get to enjoy everything you make. It's a little more, it's dishes. I can get chocolate out of anything. And I was about 2 years in, and I realized, like, you know, I had a friend who passed away, and I was like, you know what? We only get one shot. Like, this is it. This is what we get. And so I thought, I'm going to write a book and let's see what happens. And so I did. And I wrote 10,000 words of what became The Honeymoon Trap, and they were awful. They were so bad. But I didn't want anybody to read them, because I didn't want that feedback from somebody who, like, it wasn't in the industry. And so I ended up hiring a book coach, a writing coach, and she taught me how to craft a story based on those first like 10,000 words where I didn't know what I was doing. And then that's when we finished. It was originally titled Confessions, but then when we published it, it was picked up and published. It became The Honeymoon Trap.
Love this. I love this story as someone who's like, I just had another recording. I'm 40 and I'm like, I want to write a book. I feel like it's just time to, I have enough life stories, enough, you know, jobs and enough, you know, experiences. And so, and things that I'm like, I should talk. And it's like, a part of me is like, well, I don't have an English background. I'm too old. I have like all these, like, you know, things that tell you that, like, you're not supposed to. And I'm like, why not?
You know? I mean, truly, it's more fun than making chocolate. I can tell you that. Like, it's more fun. And really, the you don't have to have that background. I also was not an English major or anything. I was a journalism major. So I knew how to craft a news article. But fiction doesn't run by those rules. Fiction, you know, in a news article, you start with the most important thing because you know that people might not finish it. So you want the most important thing at the top. And in fiction, that's not what readers want. Readers want to be kind of immersed into this story. And then you get to this, like, okay, this is what's going to happen. And so I feel like it helped, but not in a huge sense. So this is the one industry I don't think you have to have the background for. I think you can learn it. You have to learn it, but I think you can learn it. You know, I took a ton of classes. I think I spent a year and a half working on The Honeymoon Trap, taking every class I could find, joining every group I could find, writer's group, and really just trying to be a sponge of, like, you know, learning what it was that authors who were successful, who I liked, what they were doing. Yeah. And then I wrote a book, and that book did really well. And then I wrote another book, which was my breakout book, which was Going Down on One Knee.
I love this story. So this is very inspiring. It's always like, okay.
If you want to write a book, write a book. Like, you know, if you want to open a chocolate shop, open a chocolate shop. Just know you're doing a lot of dishes. You know, if you want it, whatever you want to do. I mean, you get one shot at this. Like, it's not like we get a do-over. So if you want to write a book, I mean, nothing's stopping you but yourself.
I think that's like the biggest culprit. And it's like, I don't know, like in my 30s, so my 20s, I work in a career, had like the whole thing and whole nine yards. And then in like 30s, I was like, oh no, like I need to switch it around. And it's been about 5 years, like literally searching what I wanted to do. And I found a new relationship with work that it's no longer like, it doesn't identify who I am. It's just what I do. And it's all these different places. Right. And it's a gift that it's like, I have this like place of like, it's not, it's just another thing I can do. It's another thing I can pursue that's not going to make or break my personality, you know?
Right.
But it can be cathartic too.
It really can. You know, I was looking for something. It was funny. Okay. So I was coming, my husband is a CPA and he was making partner in this big, big CPA firm and all that. And I was kind of staying home with kids, running a chocolate company. And it came to a point where, you know, people would ask me, what do you like to do? And I was like, I don't know what I like to do. Like, what do I like to do? Like, I enjoy the things I do, but like, I like to read. And then it was one of those things where it was like, okay, I'm going to try to write. And so that's when I tried. But it was one of those things too, that where it was, I'm going to do this, not to make money, but for the passion of it, like just because I want something to do. And then of course, now that it makes money, it's changed slightly because I do feel a little more responsibility when people are paying for my words versus, you know, when it's just for me. But I feel like, you know, you want to make sure that you meet expectations, when they're paying for the book. So yeah, it's one of those things that, yeah, if you want to do it, like, you know, like Ted Lasso says, like, believe, like, just believe you can and start. Like the hardest thing to do is start, I think. It's like, we all get in our heads.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a story real quick? And then I know we're supposed to talk books, but when I first thought I wanted to write a book, it was like 2002. Mm-hmm. And I remember like thinking, I am going to write a book. Like, it's going to be great. And the first thing I did when I came home, and this is like age of dial up, you know, like we were just coming off dial up. I went home and I looked up how to get an agent. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I skipped over the whole part of like, how do you write a book? It was like, I went straight to how am I going to sell a book? And I don't even know what agent's website it was, but there was one that said, you know, please don't reach out to us until you have a book. And I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, I think too often we get caught up in the, well, how's it going to work when it's ready? Instead of just like, what step do we need to make right now?
Yeah. Oh my God. This is so powerful, because I think if you can apply it, not just to writing a book, I think it's just applying to any type of creative pursuit or any type of passion project or any idea, like you have an inkling that you're like, I kind of want to do this. I want to pursue this. And it's like, you just have to start. The hardest part is just to start. You know, once you're there, you're going to follow the crumbs, because we know it's not linear. Like a lot of these pursuits are not linear. They're not like you just do a step one, step two, step three. Like sometimes you have like curveballs and you have opportunities and things. And so I think it's like, it's really powerful to see, like, you just have to start. That's what it comes down to.
That's what it comes down to. You're absolutely right. I mean, it comes down to the first step is always the hardest.
Yeah.
And it's not that there's not going to be mountains in the way, like as you get into your journey, you know, but you're going to be prepared for those, you know, because you took that first step. And this is, you know, there's so many tools out there for writers, especially to learn the trade. You know, it's not impossible. And I would say that about anything, really. Like, you know, if you're 39 and you want to go be a doctor, I say go to med school. Like, you know, take the first step. Like, again, we've got one shot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
it's never too late.
No.
It's okay. And you can let go. The vibes are off. It's okay.
Exactly. Right. Because then I ended up letting the chocolate company go because I was making more money with books and having more fun and doing way less dishes than with the books than I was with the chocolate company. And I still have everything. My family's always like, when are you going to make us those caramel apples again? And when are you going to do this again? Because I'm not even going to lie, like my salted caramel was one of the best. Like it was. Yeah. And I haven't made it in years. And my family just kind of looks at me like, could you please? Like, we would like that.
So. Oh my gosh. I would die for some caramel apples right now.
Well, I did these big ones. Okay. So I did, because I couldn't, so the caramel liked to slide off. And I'm always like a troubleshooter. Like, how am I going to fix this? So I would take the apple and I dip it in caramel, and then to keep the caramel on, I would wait till it like was just not so hot. And then I would dip it in dark chocolate and like over the caramel, and then like white chocolate over that. And then I would put the toffee on it, and then I would like drizzle. And so it was like this like lasagna of, now I really want one too, actually.
That sounds so good. Maybe, oh, they're so good. Maybe I should revisit the chocolate.
Right? Let's talk chocolate. I can talk chocolate. Like if you said, Christina, what can you talk about for hours? I would say kids, chocolate, and writing a book. Those are the three things that I can talk about for hours.
I love this. So talk about books. Let's talk about the Mile High Rock series. We are up to book 5, but tell us about the series first, and then we'll talk about like the latest in the series.
Right. So Mile High Rock actually came out of the first series that I wrote, which was like the Mile High Matched. It was a spinoff, because Mile High Matched in the first book, the hero is managing a band, and that's what he does, is he travels the country managing this band. And so Mile High Rocked is about the band. So it's each of the members of the band. And so we learn in that first book of Mile High Matched that there's some trouble going on with the band and that they're having some issues. And so the Mile High Rocked series is them overcoming those issues and figuring it out and having a lot of fun like along the way, because these are rock star rom-coms. Like they are not just, they're not, there is a little angst, because I feel like that's life, but there's also a lot of shenanigans. There's a lot of shenanigans, and so that's the point, is to make you smile and make you laugh and make you think. So yeah,
I love this. And so Reckless with a Rockstar, who is the rock star that we have in this book?
So this is, his name is Mark Powers. His original name was Mark Flowers, but nobody wants a rock star named Mark Flowers. So he changed it to Mark Powers. And so that's kind of a fun thing. He was discovered by Dime Front with his friend, who was a foster brother. Dime Front kind of found them in the first book of the Mile High Rocked and adopted them into the band, and they became kind of the heart of the band. And so Reckless is about this guy, Mock, who he is in the last book. Tanner was having a little bit of a publicity problem, and somebody needed to take the heat off of him. So Mock came up with this idea where he was going to do essentially a Tinder date for one of his fans. And he was like the 1,000th fan to swipe right on his profile. And it wasn't Tinder, it's called Nocturnal Cupid, but you get it. Mm-hmm. The 1,000th person would get the date, but then the app kept shuffling. So he couldn't figure out like who the 1,000th person is. And so he was trying to count it, and he was trying to figure it out. And he didn't even think that he'd get that many entries. He figured he wouldn't have to do it. He'd get a couple hundred entries and, you know, they wouldn't hit the number. But anyway, so he ends up swiping right. The woman who he chooses thinks it's a real date. So she didn't realize that it was a publicity date. And she's definitely not interested in that. So, you know, after that, she kind of lets him know that she wasn't interested. And she becomes America's sweetheart for telling him no. And her whole life becomes this kind of fishbowl. And so she decides to say, what the heck, and be reckless with the rock star. So that's the book.
And yeah. I love this premise about like the Tinder day, like, you know, the publicity stunt, and just be like, no, we're not co-signing this publicity stunt, because sometimes we're like fake romances, and like do you really want to be in a fake romance, like in a fake, you know, experience, or no, like in the real life, right? You get that, you know,
right?
So
yeah, so I mean, it's been really fun to write. It's been one of those, you know, you become a writer and I said, there's mountains. This book has been a mountain. Mm-hmm. I'm really lucky because I have a team around me to kind of help me figure out when I go. So when I was writing the first draft, I went left instead of right. And you know, you do that as a writer, and then I wrote myself into a corner. And when I sent out the SOS, you know, we're fixing the book and we're doing all these things and making it really great. Now the book's phenomenal. I really love it. It just is one of those things where it's like, this was a mountain for me, but in the end, like they're always like, my favorite book is the last book I wrote, you know, except for my real favorite book, which is, there is one, but this one, it's usually the last, you know, that's what I always say. But I love these two. Darla and Mock are, they're a pair, you know?
So let's try to find some of your books in your backlist. Like, okay, how do you suggest after we're done with Mile High Rock and maybe like going for the original series, but other series for you or other books we recommend our listeners to pick up?
Right. So Mile High Rock, every book that I write is a standalone. So you mm-hmm. don't have to read any other book for that book to make sense. And so at the end of Mile High Rock, if you haven't read Mile High Matched, I would highly recommend that. And it's kind of like, it's fun because you'll recognize some of the side characters in Mile High Rocked from Mile High Matched. I also have a standalone, which is The Honeymoon Trap. And that's the first book I ever wrote. I'm very proud of that book. It always surprises me when somebody brings it to me to sign for them, because I'm like, really? Like, this is the book. This is the one that like started it. Mm-hmm. And then I also have the Mommy Wars series, mm-hmm. which is Mom-Com. So it's single moms finding love in Denver. I think the only book that doesn't take place in Denver for me is The Honeymoon Trap. But so you have the Mom-Com. So it's like Rachel out of Office, There's Something About Molly, which I will say is my favorite book that I've written. That book was just, it took off and it was like the book wrote itself. It just like the characters knew what they wanted to do. And then after that, it's April, May, Fall. And then I have a release coming out. I know this is like not backlist, but I have a release coming out that was going to be book four in that series, but now it's book one of a new series called Mile High Heat. And that book is called It Doesn't Have to Be This Hard. So yeah, I like to do innuendo in my title. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be this hard. And it's a story about a woman who accidentally lights the neighborhood dumpster on fire with her nightstand buddy. And the celebrity chef who lives up the street comes to help her out. So
I'm very excited for this book. I am very excited for this book. So
I love this book so much. I can't even tell you.
Oh my gosh. So let's talk some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up from other authors? You know,
I mean, okay. So here's the thing. It's like when I was at a PolyCon and I was like, people would come up and they would, you know, come up for swag or, you know, I had some merchandise there, so they would buy that. And I'd say, do you like rom-com? And, you know, some people said no. And it's like, okay, well, what do you like to read? And then it was like, I had all the recs, like, okay, where you want to go is over here. And where you want to go is over here. I have my comfort reads. I love anything by Sophie Sullivan, Dylan Crush, Renee Ann Miller. We all kind of came up at the same time and were friends long before any of us were published. We were kind of like writer friends. So I love their books. I feel very connected to each of them. I love Kristen Ashley stories. That's just in my mind, in my history. I've loved reading her books. Rock Chick kind of changed like my perception as far as could I write a book and what did I want how did I want it to make people feel? And I love that book made you laugh, but it also really was like, it made you think and it made you like kind of on the edge of your seat. And so I loved that one. I'm trying to think what else. I love Lauren Gilley. I love her books. Fearless is a comfort read for me. I definitely go back and read that one. And it's like massive. It's super big. Jill Bankston's. I love Jill. Actually, I met Jill and I asked her, we were just talking. I didn't know who she was. And so we were just talking. And then I asked her, I said, I want to read one of your books. Which one should I start with? And she recommended Cake. And I opened it on Amazon and I was like, you've been holding out on me, because she has sold so many copies of that mm-hmm. book, and it won an Audi, or it was nominated for an Audi and all that stuff. So yeah.
Thank you for these recommendations, because a lot of these authors I'm not familiar and I'm like, no, I need to pick this one up. I need to pick this one up. I need to pick this one up.
Right. So well, I think I put, okay. So I had put in my form that like the Lauren Gilley book Fearless, I had a friend and she's like, you have to read this. You have to read it. But there's an underage age gap. Mm-hmm. And I was, that's like a hard no from me. And I was like, no, I will not read this. I will not read this. And finally she said, you have to read it. And so I said, I'm going to read it, but I'm not going to like it. And it is now one of my favorite stories, because it wasn't about the physical intimacy. It was about being soulmates with somebody. And I found that so powerful and just so well done, that the age wasn't the issue. And it's really a beautiful story. So
adding that to the TBR for sure. So
I wonder what you think too, because like I say, it was a hard no for me for a long time.
It is a hard no for me. Yeah, it's like any type of like child sexual abuse, like, you know, grooming, any type of that, it becomes kind of like a hard no,
right? Well, and so this one, I would say it is not childhood because she's very much almost 18, you know, she's very mature for her age as far as all of that. So, and it, the way it all comes about, you know, is like a soulmate type thing. Yeah. And so it's not icky.
Okay,
because that's what I had worried about too. Is it gonna be icky? And it's not because it's not about that. It's about soulmates. It's about finding the person that you match. You know, it's almost like I almost think of it as like a fated mates. Like I guess it's kind of like what it was. Is, you know, he knew, but he had to wait. You know, he had to wait till she was, you know, old enough and ready. So that's again one of my comfort reads, which I never thought I would say, but it is, and I love it. And Lauren is amazing. Like she's just a great writer. She's just so her prose are so brilliant.
Yeah, adding it to the TBR for sure. So Christina, tell us where to find you online.
So I'm almost everywhere. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Insta, and TikTok at Hovland Writes, Hovland Writes. You can find me there.
Thank you, Christina, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships. to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.